Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Falcoholic Podcast. This is our quick pod coming after the first round of the 2018 NFL draft. Joining me for some thoughts on the Falcons' surprising move in this year's draft class is the Falcoholic himself, Dave Choate. Dave, how are you doing?
I'm tired. It was a long night, but not too bad though.
All right, so let's just jump into this because I think fans are going to be very curious to hear your thoughts on what the Falcons are doing here. So obviously, there was some talk about the Falcons trading up. The Seahawks were pegged as a potential trade partner, and the Seahawks did trade that pick, but they ended up trading it to Green Bay. And I distinctly remember holding my breath when I saw the trade marker pop up on the screen. But the Falcons stayed; they stayed at 26, and with that pick, they selected a wide receiver, Calvin Ridley, out of the University of Alabama. So, Dave, what was your initial reaction to the pick of Ridley?
I think my initial reaction was more or less what you saw on Twitter, which was sort of like, well, I didn't really expect them to go with a wide receiver. I said in conversations with people just kind of around the fan base and around our staff over the last few days that, wide receiver was the position I'd probably be least happy with. And that is true. Taven Bryan is not my favorite player at the defensive tackle position, but Maurice Hurst is. He was there. Bryan is potentially a pretty great player. You had some quality corners on the board, some interesting players, even a guard if you wanted to go that direction. But what the Falcons did here really was just take the best guy on their board, and they gave Sarkisian, I don't know. Steve Sarkisian, another weapon. And I think that anybody who watched the offense in Flowery Branch a year ago wasn't satisfied with how it performed. And I think that they felt that speed and that route running acumen that Ridley's hopefully going to bring is something that they were missing.
Yeah, and I think the name you brought up is a key one, that being Taylor Gabriel. We all knew after the big season he had in 2016 and maybe the less impressive one he had in 2017, that some team was going to pay him and that it probably would not be the Falcons, simply because they had a lot of money already invested in Julio and Sanu. So I guess there was an open question on who was going to be that replacement. I think it's pretty clear the Falcons really like the idea of Ridley being that guy. You mentioned the fact that Taven Bryan was available at 26, and I think many fans were anticipating that they would go defensive tackle in the first round and that it would be him. What do you think about them passing on Taven Bryan and going with Ridley instead?
Again, I view the defensive tackle position as a key need that needs to be filled, and the Falcons have to fill it with a quality young player. Jack Crawford is somebody I think is a good player. I don't really know what you're going to get from him this year. There's nobody else really on the roster that's all that inspiring at the moment, and anybody you sign as a street free agent is probably going to fit the same kind of bill. And I think as good as this Falcons defense is, you don't want to leave an open spot there where you're not going to get a high level of play out of a guy. So I think this year and in the coming years, they have to have that defensive tackle. Now, I think the way that the board fell, the Falcons felt that they could get Ridley and come back for a defensive tackle or maybe a cornerback in round two. And I think it's simply because not a lot of them went in the first round. You saw three defensive tackles go out of the top four. I think Hurst is in for a little bit of a fall. And the Falcons have told us that they had 6 to 8, first or second round grades on defensive tackles. So I think this is just a simple matter of them saying, either we're going to move up a little bit to get our guy, or we're comfortable that, someone we like is going to be there at pick number 26 in the second round as well. and Ridley's just too much of a talent to pass up.
Yep. Yeah, and I think it's important to note that you know, Vita Vea and Jerron Payne both went off the board very early, back to back, as a matter of fact. So I think, you know, there was a lot of rumors that the Falcons were going to trade up to try to get Jerron Payne. Well, that quickly became a non-starter for the team when he went in the top 15. They were simply not going to be able to trade up that high without forfeiting a substantial amount of picks to do it. Real quick, some scouting reports on Ridley in what I've read, and you know, Dave, maybe what you've you can chime in here a little bit as well. But on the plus side, he's fast. He's got quote unquote wiggle. So he's you know, he's got that elusiveness. Great route runner, runs the entire route tree, can stop on the dime, creates great separation. And then on the downside, Dave, I'll let you chime in with one of your favorite criticisms you've seen of him. But I'll just say that some people think he may be undersized, you know, that his frame doesn't have, you know, isn't big enough to support additional weight. And he tends to drop the ball when he's anticipating a big hit, and he can be jammed at the line of scrimmage. So what are some additional thoughts or things you've heard about Ridley?
Well, I've heard he has tight skin. Charles McDonald at our site pointed that out, that scouting report, I believe, and I just can't fathom what that even is supposed to mean, but it's one of my favorites of all time. And that is a weakness, mind you. But
tight
yeah,
skin.
You know, I've heard and seen much of the same criticism of Ridley. I think my favorite piece of criticism I saw last night was a few people on Falcons Twitter talking about him being like turbocharged Harry Douglas or first round Harry Douglas, which seems mean spirited. he's obviously a better player than that. I think that, you know, the collection of quarterbacks that he had throwing him the ball in Alabama, to put it politely, were not as good as he's going to have in Atlanta. I think that, you know, with the weapons around him, he should have the opportunity to eat. I think my whole thing with Ridley is that, you know, the Falcons did not do a good job a year ago of using the talent that they have. And right. You're being given Ridley, who is a legitimate talent. He's fast. You know, as you mentioned, he's a good route runner right out of the gate. But, you know, you can't just let him, you know, languish and get jammed. Get taken off his routes by physical cornerbacks and, you know, not make the full use of that speed, or he's kind of a waste of a first-round pick. Right. So I'll be interested to see, you know, year one for him, how is he used and how ready is he to contribute? And I expect that, you know, unlike most of the first-round picks that have come through Atlanta in recent years, he won't have the largest role, but I do anticipate he'll be on the field a lot. And he'll have opportunities to make plays. So I just hope that this collection of talent that they've put in front of Steve Sarkisian is enough for him.
Yeah, and I think that's a valid criticism. And there's just simply no way to know how that's going to play out until the season gets here. But as for me, the concern that Ridley can be jammed or thrown off by a physical corner, I think in this regard, the Falcons are a fantastic fit for him because he'll likely be on the field with one of, if not both of Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu, both of whom are very physical wide receivers and can get off of jams and can, you know, take on those larger corners. And I think, at least for the first couple of years that, you know, Ridley is here, there's a good chance that if a team has one or two physical corners, they're going to commit them to a Julio Jones or to a Mohamed Sanu, you know, guys who are arguably more physical. So it should help with the matchups, I would think, that Ridley is going to see, you know, when he steps onto the field.
I agree. And, you know, that is, it's all valid. And I think at the end of the day, you know, I think almost everybody acknowledges that, you know, concerns aside, Ridley is a good player. He'll be a contributor. He may very well or likely will be sort of an upgrade of over what the Falcons were doing a year ago, for the simple fact that Sarkisian should figure some things out. I think it's just a question of, you know, best player available purely versus a little bit of a needs-based philosophy. And I think until I know what the rest of this draft class looks like and what the Falcons do at defensive tackle, I can't be entirely thrilled with it, but, you know, it's on its merits a pretty good pick, and it's something that I anticipate that we'll warm up to in the months ahead as we see him on the field and get a sense for how the team's going to use him. But it was a legitimate surprise to me, and, you know, I put together my mock yesterday, which, you know, looks hilariously defunct already, as they always do, but, you know, I didn't... taking a wide receiver until very late. I really thought that they might mostly stand pat at the position. So it was a surprise to me.
Yep. So real quick, you know, looking ahead into day two and day three, some of the defensive tackles still available for those who are still very concerned about that position. Myself and Dave, of course, you included in that. Obviously, you mentioned Maurice Hurst. I think the question with him is going to be how far he slides based on the health concerns. Harrison Phillips, Tim Settle, B.J. Hill, R.J. McIntosh, Nathan Shepard, amongst other names. And as you mentioned, the Falcons have said that they really think this is a deep defensive tackle class. There is also a distinct possibility, and I think fans should prep themselves for this, that they don't even go defensive tackle in the second round. You mentioned corner. I think corner could definitely be a position they surprise with in the second round. And it may be that we get into the third round before we see the team address a position that most people thought they were going to address with the first round pick. So, you know, definitely a lot of intrigue ahead, you know, coming up today and tomorrow, Saturday, for this NFL draft. So, Dave, any last thoughts before we sign off on this podcast? Reasons you think the fans should be panicking, reasons they should be patient. Any last thoughts you want to give to our fans before we close out?
Yeah, you know, be patient. It's always best to see something through before you freak out about it. Obviously, you know, if we get to the end of this draft class and they haven't really done anything about defensive tackle, you have every right to be upset, and I probably will be as well. But we simply don't know yet, and there is quite a bit of talent left on the board at this point, and there aren't a lot of teams that I can see prioritizing defensive tackle here in the second round or maybe even the early third. So I imagine the Falcons will get their guy, maybe their guys, plural, and we're just going to have to see how it unfolds. So, you know, like him or love him, Ridley's a Falcon now, and we'll see what happens next.
Yep, absolutely. And to close out, one thing I want to point out to fans is back in 2016, the team, almost everyone universally agreed at that point that the team absolutely had to get a linebacker. With many people at the time hoping that the Falcons would trade up to go get, who was the kid, the one that fell to us in the 2016 draft, Dave. He's in Jacksonville now.
Miles Jack. Miles
yes, Jack. Thank you. Miles Jack, yes. Many people thought, all right, Miles Jack, you know, he fell to us to our position, you know, 17th. No one thought he would be there. And the team drafted Keanu Neal, which, you know, for those who don't remember, that was somewhat of a controversial pick. Many people thought Keanu Neal was a reach. They thought they could have gotten him in the second. They thought it was insanity to pass on Miles Jack. And obviously, you know, there was still this big hole at linebacker that they addressed later in that same draft class by drafting Deion Jones. So I think that same level of patience is required here. Dave, as you mentioned, still a ton of talent left on the board, still a lot that can happen in the next couple days. So I definitely think patience is the key. So stay tuned, guys, to thefalcoholic.com, where you can find all of our draft coverage, all of the analysis of these picks, and how the Falcons 2018 draft class is turning out. So for Dave Choate, the Falcoholic himself, This is David Walker, DW, thanking you guys for tuning in, and we'll talk with you next time.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.